Hello, everybody, and welcome towards life. Welcome to Turning Towards Life. We are Lizzie and Justin, and it's Sunday morning as usual. And here we are once again saying hello to you. And just so that you know, this little behind the scenesy bit, we do this thing of you're saying hello and I'll watch the time. And so that's our little routine that we have before we begin. So it's my turn to say hello, which is a great privilege, and a shiver of excitement happens for me every time I say hello, because this really is a very wonderful thing that we're up to, Justin. And for all of you who are joining us, and all of you who are messaging us, and all of you who are in appreciation of this podcast, this broadcast, it is such a wonder to know that you're there, and to know and feel some of the effect that this conversation on a Sunday morning has on you. And so I just want to say thank you for being here, and your participation is fuel for our fire, really. And so I'm very grateful to all of you, and very grateful to you, Justin, that we keep on keeping on, and that somehow there's always a source. There's always something to talk about. And I think that will be true forever. So, we're here again. And actually, today's my birthday. So I am in that kind of excitement of a day that's in some way oriented towards me. So we're going for a walk and having a lunch, and it's already delicious. And I've already been given a poetry book, or a book of short stories by Ben Okri, which might be some sources for Turning Towards Life. And also been given a record, which is, my God, my mind's just, oh, Nick Cave's new record, an actual record called Carnage. So I'm already excited about my book and my record, and it feels like a lovely day, and I've got a cup of tea that's been made for me, and so my day is already a very happy birthday. So thank you for wishing me happy birthday earlier as well, Justin, remembering it's my birthday. Mm. And today we have our source, which is from Justin, and Justin, maybe you could lead us into that bit.
I will. Thank you, Lizzie. Well, I'm going to wish you happy birthday again. And I'm going to say to all of you who are with us, if you want to wish Lizzie happy birthday, you can reach us always, or for anything else, on our Facebook group. But we also have these sparkling new email addresses, hello@turningtowards.life and lizzie@turningtowards.life and justin@turningtowards.life. So for those of you who listen to the podcast, or find us on Instagram or something, and you want to reach us directly, if you're not in the Facebook group yet, you can do that. So it's joyful to be doing this with you on your birthday, Lizzie. Mm. Thank you for still coming, even though there were good reasons to let everybody celebrate you today. Sounds like you're going to do that as well. And so I also want to thank our good friend Amy for this source. So this came from a conversation that Amy and I were in, and I just think it's the most brilliant, brilliant poem. I know some of Robert Bly's work. Everything I've read and heard of his is so excellent. He's got such a deep appreciation for what it is to be a human, and the struggles that we have, and also the beauty of being a person, which I know is one of the things that seems to me, Lizzie, sort of is one of the underpinnings of this whole conversation, is honouring and turning towards both how hard it is and also how extraordinary it is to be a person, and seeing if we can live without running from either end of that polarity. And Robert Bly does such a great job of honouring that. Job's a funny word to say. He has such an eloquent expressor of that. And then this poem, which I'm just having to find. So for all of us who are here in this conversation, you can find the poems and the sources always in our Facebook group. Now, here I learned a new word for this, Lizzie, this week, or in the show notes. Apparently they're called show notes. If you put notes out with your podcast,
ooh,
in the show notes of the podcast, when the podcast comes out, we always put the source in there, and on our Instagram feed, and on turningtowards.life, where all the video recordings of our conversations are. So you can always find it if you want to be able to read it, for example, or share it with other people. I'm going to let this speak for itself, Lizzie, and see where it takes us just by entering into it. It's called One Source of Bad Information. There is a boy in you, about 3 years old, who hasn't learned a thing for 30,000 years. Sometimes it's a girl. This child had to make up its mind how to save you from death. He said things like, stay home, avoid elevators, eat only elk. You live with this child, but you don't know it. You're in the office, yes, but live with this boy at night. He's uninformed, but he does want to save your life. And he has. Because of this boy, you survived a lot. He's got 6 big ideas. 5 don't work. Right now, he's repeating them to you.
There's a boy in you, about 3 years old, who hasn't learned a thing for 30,000 years. Sometimes it's a girl. This child had to make up its mind how to save you from death. He said things like, stay home, avoid elevators, eat only elk. You live with this child, but you don't know it. You're in the office, yes, but live with this boy at night. He's uninformed, but he does want to save your life, and he has. Because of this boy, you survived a lot. He's got 6 big ideas. 5 don't work. Right now, he's repeating them to you.
Oh my goodness, this poem makes me smile from ear to ear, I have to say. Mostly, I think, because in my own experience, it's just completely true in some form. Actually, the way Robert Bly has written this feels mostly true in exactly the form that it's in. And I suppose, Lizzie, when I first read it, there was the joy in it for me is the joy of recognition of, someone's putting words to something, which on one level I've known to be true about myself for the longest time. But until there are really good words for it, it's hard to see. And Robert Bly's words not only feel, and I'll say a little bit more about how they feel true for me, but they not only feel true, they also invite such kindness. Because I suppose for a long time in my own life, I could have said to you, if anyone had asked me what's inside you, what forces and presences are there inside you, I could have said, oh, well, there's this one that does this and this one that does this, and there's the part of me that gets me really afraid when here's one for me, the part of me that gets me really afraid when I speak out in a way that's really, really different in opinion or values or commitments or understanding from everyone else around me, that part, and that the part that goes, that's really dangerous, you're going to get thrown out, you're about to get excluded, better take it back, claw it back, that part, for example, I've known really quickly. But as well as having a sort of, if I looked out of the corner of my eye, a glimpse that there were lots of different parts of me, I think mostly I would have experienced my relationship to the parts of me also as one of great disapproval. There's some other part of me that goes, you shouldn't have that, and you shouldn't be that, and you shouldn't do that, and that's terrible. And so a great big inner harsh judgment. Mm-hmm. So when Robert Bly says, there's a child in you who's about 3, who hasn't learned a thing for 30,000 years, but does want to save your life and has, and even though 5 of his 6 big ideas don't work, one of them does, and because of him, you've survived a lot. The honesty of this and also the appreciation of our inner richness and the richness of the inner parts of ourselves. I really can have parts that are really young And they've got some ideas that really don't help. I know what some of those are that don't help, but there's such goodness in them. But the inner parts of us really, really, really want to help us. They're doing their best to help us, even if they are largely uninformed and have stuck, held on to the same idea for a really, really long time and keep on trying the same thing. That they really want to help us, that we can trust their goodness. And because we can trust their goodness, we can also trust our own goodness. And that we can sift through with them to try to see if we can find out what that they're up to isn't so helpful, because maybe because it's just long out of date, just was from another time, maybe even from a time before us. It's 30,000 years, even before my own life, this got going.
Yeah.
But also to feel into the gifts that are there. So I would say for the longest part of my life, my unknown inner strategy was to try and banish any part that showed up that looked like it might be causing me trouble. So an inner dynamic of well-intentioned parts and a kind of great big forceful get out of here kind of force. So lots of inner turmoil and pain that I didn't even know that's what it was. I just thought that was how life was. And here's Robert Bly saying, yeah, but we could, maybe the thing we could do is we could love these parts and find out what they have to say and smile at them when they say, you meant to stay home, avoid elevators and eat only elk. And then what a foundation that is for really sweetly and lovingly turning towards ourselves and ultimately turning towards others, because everyone's got this.
Yeah. That's really, really something to hear you say what this is for you. I really appreciate all that it is. And I noticed as I was listening to you read it to me, last night I had a horrible nightmare. And I think the nightmare was born of this age part person in me. And it was really scary. So I noticed that this boy about three in me who has stories to tell is also kind of buried deep. I mean, there'll be lots of boys, I'm sure. But the feeling of it for me is, so this line, you live with this child, but you don't know it. It's like suddenly the boy's there or the girl is there and I haven't known. It hasn't been like an everyday experience for me for this part to be around, and then all of a sudden. And so I've been living with that and not knowing about it until they decide to shout or say something or bring something to me. And this, you know, you live with this boy at night, just really kind of hit me. And I noticed in my experience last night that I was really afraid. I was really afraid. And it was really, it felt all encompassing, completely legitimate. Like, you know, there was no way that last night, like there is now, of relating to it in a sensible way. You know, it's like an all. And if I think of what it is to be 3 years old, in my experience of three-year-olds and my own experience of threeness that I can kind of sense, in that moment, reflection's not possible. You know, stepping outside myself and wondering, oh, well, how come I'm lying on the pavement having a really difficult time? That thing isn't possible. We need other people to do that for us at that point in our lives as three-year-olds. And so the fact that there are parts that are this young that sweep in and take over our bodily experience makes so much sense in reading this poem for me, and just honoring the power of it as well. And I think also because I have a nearly two-year-old now in my life so fully, I can feel that when she's this part's and her being is this, it's not a negotiable withable part. You know, it is the experience that is happening. And so to honor that age being in us for the kind of unsolvable, nothing to be done about it experience that can take us over, and then realize that we can breathe and there's more of us present because we're much broader, we have a broader choice of how to respond, feels really beautiful. And also that we can hold that part, like we can hold this three-year-old just as I would hold my little girl. I could imagine that I can do that for myself too. Like, I'm not just one thing, I'm like many, many things. So a different part of me can come forth to hold another part of me. And that feels like a really, really big relief. And there's times where I don't feel like I have capacity and I need someone to help me and to be that holder of the three-year-old for sure. Like last night, I needed Matthew lying next to me. I woke him up and said, can you just cuddle me? I'm in like a place. So at least there was an awareness to get some help. But for a long time, I was lying there thinking, this is horrific. I can't get out of it. And so I feel like the stay home, avoid elevators, eat only elk. Yes, sometimes I don't know it, but I do know that it's not far away at any point that one of those three-year-olds kind of has me. And I'm speaking from that place. I'm thinking from that place. I'm responding from that place because I'm afraid. And I'm in some kind of wrangle with life from a very young place. Also, just to talk about it like this and to acknowledge it and to know that this is what happens in human experience is really beautiful. And you know, at the beginning, Justin, you're saying that this makes you smile, and I think, you know, as you were saying that bit as well, I was thinking what a joy it is when someone articulates what it's like to be you. And that joy, I think, comes from I'm not alone. And B, there's something that dawns that's quite funny all of a sudden, that like it's like a shard of light comes into a really serious place when someone says something and you can identify with it. Like, so when you say something and I can identify with it, or if Robert Bly says something and I can identify, I find this kind of rising joy of anti-aloneness. And for some reason, there's a shard of humor that comes in when it's not just me, but that there's another person that can see me. It's a kind of bustedness or something, like I got caught in the act, and it's kind of natural funniness arrives of oh my gosh, I'm somehow reflecting on it through some other words that come from apparently somewhere else, like someone else's poem or something. For me, it just generates a kind of sneaky little, oh gosh, yeah, that's what I'm like, which is a really nice feeling because it's forgiving and has perspective and it's not completely caught in the drama, but there's something that comes from the outside that kind of gentle things out a bit and kind of undoes the Christmas lights a bit more when someone says something that I can find myself in.
Lovely way of speaking, Lizzie, and I think maybe what it does, at least in me, what I can feel happens as I hear you speak and I'm with you and you're bringing this joyful, kind, playful welcome to the parts of us, both of us and everyone's parts, and Robert Bly's words, that evokes in me the something of me that is really kind and really expansive and really patient and really loving and really wise. Like I think that the three-year-old parts of us, three-year-old parts of me, have all kinds of wonderful qualities, but they don't have perspective. they've got you know what it's like to be three and to be really, really sure that this is dangerous and you've got to stay home. And the kind of kindness that's arising in me, the smile that you're talking about, the laughing in recognition, I think that the story that we have in our culture that we are just one thing. So I'm an adult now, right? I'm a parent and I'm a husband and I have work to do and I, you know, have commitments and everything. If the story that I'm only one thing is so unhelpful because I'm all these other things too. And so very often when a part comes up that is terribly, terribly frightened and really, really insistent, I think what we get taught is get that part back under control, or get that part away, because to be a grown up is to never, to not feel that stuff. And to see that we're not broken because we are that way. It's just what being human is to be a, is to be a family of many. So if we can smile at our own and find that of us which is loving and deep and really patient with the parts of ourselves and with the parts of other people, so that if I'm with you and you, some three-year-old part comes up and is rageful or terrified or gripping or something, instead of some frightened young part of me coming up and us having these parts in, if I can smile and go, oh, of course, you know, Lizzie's got a three-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, I'm suddenly remembering a long time ago, very good friend of ours, the daughter of some very good friends, when she was two, we went for a walk near us and we were walking along a long fence, and she decided that she wanted the gate in the fence opened. There wasn't a gate in the fence. The biggest problem about this is there was no gate. So like many two-year-olds, she said, open the gate. And we said, we can't open the gate. There isn't a gate. She was like, open the gate, open the gate, open the gate. And before long, she was on the floor, pounding her hands on the floor, kicking her heels, screaming about the gate. And I remember feeling so loving towards her about the sort of the purity of her intention, her real genuine wish, and the world just not meeting her, and her not being tuned, her not having the capacity to do anything about the way the world, nobody could help her. Nobody could help her open the gate that wasn't there. So if instead of getting into that, you talked about the drama, when that happens in us, particularly if we're willing to see, like Robert Bly says, which I really agree with, that parts of us are uninformed but do want to save us, we can honour in ourselves and other people that that's what's going on, then instead of getting caught up in the drama of some frightened part of me coming up in response, what I might be able to do is to smile in recognition and go, look, there's that seven-year-old part of me that got really ashamed that time for stepping out in front of everyone else and being, you know, being shamed in front of other people. There's that part coming up in response to the part that's coming up in you. And can I just hold for a moment both my own small parts that are coming up, but also yours, and soften enough, not that we can honour their presence and love them enough that something else can come forward than the desperation that these parts of us often have. And that really feels to me like a proper turning towards, like a sort of inclusive turning towards, rather than a sort of running away pretending that's not happening, or demanding that somehow you and I get into the mode of whatever story we have about what it is to be adults. Could we just first love these little ones and have them feel held enough that we might find out what it is that they're really frightened of and what they really care about, and of the six big ideas that they have, which one it is actually that really does have some appropriateness here. So I suppose I'm making a call for us to turn towards the phenomena that arise in us with sufficient not rushing, but not running,
yeah,
either.
Yeah, in listening to what you're saying, Justin, I can feel the part of me that I feel like that is such a beautiful intention to have, that I could find the spaciousness to welcome. And I notice that there's many times I can do that. But one of the things that happens to me is that when someone's three-year-old comes, my three-year-old also comes out to play. So So I noticed that it takes a lot at times for there not to be 2-3-year-olds talking to each other from adult bodies, if that's the part that's kind of come forth. And I wonder what that is. Like, I'm not sure that the kind of, I don't know how come that's true, but it seems true that a 3-year-old invites a 3-year-old to the party. And so to know that that's happening seems like a really crucial first step, so that I can feel the invitation for my 3-year-old to come forward because your 3-year-old is playing. But to go, like this conversation is helping me to kind of find a deeper awareness that that happens, number one. And then secondly, maybe because I can see that in this moment, I might have a different choice when I can feel my 3-year-old. I can identify it a little bit better because of Robert's poem. You know, I can feel the field a little bit more as I talk about it. I can feel my threeness, my 3-year-oldness. Then when your 3-year-old comes out and I can feel 3-year-oldness coming from you, maybe I don't have to come back with my 3-year-old response to you. And it strikes me that, you know, and this is a lot of my life at the moment, because I'm in the no one can open the gate realm a lot. And so it doesn't really help if I come back with anything other than the thing you're saying, which is a kind of loving welcome of what's happening, and to deepen my kind of my spaciousness. But I can also see the part of me that kind of goes, this is really hard and a bit traumatizing, and I don't know what to do, and all of those things. So I can feel that something about me gets brought forth that's the same age as the thing that's the trigger, that the beginning of an experience like this. And so I'm just appreciating that it, you know, as usual, you know, nothing separate to anything else. So I can feel that if I can spaciously welcome my 3-year-old as it arrives, as the instigator of something, the original impulse, I can then identify that more clearly when it happens in response to another person. So of course, it, you know, it begins with me, and then as it begins with me and I become more aware, more understanding, more compassionate, more joyful to welcome these parts and identify them as such, it leaves me with much more agency to not just be the 3-year-old that's triggered by the other 3-year-old, but that I can notice it, welcome it, and like really know in my adult self that this isn't the end of the world. But in my 3-year-old, it does feel like the end of the world. And it does feel like the end of the world to the person either who is 3 or that part of their threeness. It feels like the end of the world. And so if we both start feeling like it's the end of the world, it's quite a different scenario than if just one of us feels like it's the end of the world and the other one is saying, oh, tell me more about that. How can I understand? You know, how can I do something that might make this easier for you? That's very different than both of us being in the end of the worldness that I can feel from the 3-year-oldness. And I think that's what the gift of this is for me, is like a recognition that that's possible, and that we can build this awareness of when a young part comes forward, and we can welcome it and notice it and maybe see what there is to do differently, see what resource we have to act differently inside of this awareness, because of this awareness that a 3-year-old attracts a 3-year-old. Ah, we're both 3 now. I know about this. I've read about this. Robert wrote a poem about this. And see what practical way that I can practice in that moment might be. And I expect I will, and have, know I have absolutely failed at this 1,000,000,000,000,000 times. And that my 3-year-old has been dancing with another 3-year-old so many times. And I know it's possible as well to not go down the road that's been asked from our kind of, you know, our habitual way of responding to things. And I have hope that that our life journey is just keeping on, keeping on, refining our capacity to respond.
Yes, to all of that. I'm looking at our time and I can see that it's almost time for us to finish. And I just left Lizzie feeling glad for your place that you're standing in, recognition of how often we find ourselves caught up in something that later on we go, oh, mm-hmm. you know, that was some very tight, frightened part of me was interacting with, and we don't notice it whilst it's happening. It somehow seems beyond us whilst it's happening, to recognize the ordinariness of that, but also the hopefulness that we don't always have to go down that path, and that there is that of us that is way, that is not this, that is, there's something else of our inner landscape that is really kind and patient and wise and open, and that sometimes that of us comes forward enough that we see whilst something's happening. And I'm just left also with this thought that I think what many of us have been taught to do is to use willpower to kind of get on top of ourselves when a part comes up. But if you've ever, as I know you have, and many of us listening will have done, if you've ever tried to do that with a tantruming two-year-old, to use willpower to have them stop, you'll know that the more willpower you apply, the more the fear and the everything comes. And so the move towards one another has to be something else. It has to not be trying to dominate those parts of us. Mm. That's been the feel for me of this conversation, is the possibility that we might find a kind of welcome. So much to talk about here. So it's wonderful to be embarking on this conversation. I'm quite with you about the project that at some point we'll have to just start again with all the sources that we have. We'll have to go from the beginning and see what we have to say this time. It'll be something else. Thank you, Lizzie, to you, and happy birthday. And thank you to everyone, all of you who are with us, for journeying with us and for really very much being an integral part of this conversation. And you're so welcome to introduce other people to this, to be part of this conversation. This is a big, wide holding space, and we're really keen that people can get to benefit from it. So please take that as a very welcome invitation to share this around as widely and as freely as you want. And being well, we will be here next week.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for being with us.